Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Hope you're having a good day. We're very excited to welcome a wonderful person who is an expert at what she does. She's a retired executive and leadership coach of Innovation Coaching, a former university ethics professor, and currently an evaluator of coaches with the International Federation, ICF, the world's largest organization of professionally trained coaches. We're talking about coach evaluator Christine Martin, based in beautiful Pasadena, California. We were just talking about that. I was on a close-up television shoot about a year ago there in Pasadena, and it was a really, really breathtaking area. You know, over the last few decades, the coaching industry has come a long way in growing in leaps and bounds and becoming more mainstream because of so many dedicated certified coaches that have made it such a widely recognized global phenomenon. Coaches are not therapists or advice givers telling you what to do. Instead, they ask powerful questions so you can dig deep within yourself, shift your mindset, and do exceedingly well in life without anyone telling you how. In the mid-1990s, when coaching was evolving, Christine was a university ethics professor and business consultant helping people set up successful companies. And by chance, she attended a coaching conference and was offered a position with the ICF, which she graciously accepted. Awestruck by how powerful coaching was, Christine became a member of their board of directors and opened up her own practice, Innovation Coaching, and began traveling all over the world, developing her skills while meeting amazing people. Over the years, she became very instrumental in setting ICF globally. At the same time, retired from coaching, she continues her influential work as a coach evaluator for those desiring credentials, ensuring that ICF continues producing the most quality individuals and meeting the rigorous standards for all coaches to adhere to the highest ethical principles. With her caring, results-oriented, passionate approach, Christine has made a powerful impact in coaching, really getting people ready to make them champions of what they do and what they love. Really, you know, an incredible opportunity to do beautiful work. Coach evaluator Christine Martin joins me live and direct here for part one of an exclusive two-part series with us here on Close Up Radio. Christine, thank you very much for joining me today. A pleasure to have you here for part one of our series on Close Up Radio, and welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. What a lovely introduction. Oh, my goodness.
It is my pleasure, my pleasure.
Oh, wow.
Well, welcome. Absolutely yes. A true delight to have you here, and I really appreciate your taking the time. Tell us a little bit about how you went from working as an ethics professor to actually becoming a coach yourself.
It was serendipity. You did describe it. I went to a conference. I met some people, however, over in L.A., and they said, come on over. You know, we're starting something called coaching, and come on over. We're having a meeting in Arizona. So I said, sure. I travel a lot, Ben, all the time, and sure, I'll be over there. And I walked in the door, and oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. What have you been doing, you know, before you came here? Oh, I teach ethics at the university. And you do? Everybody stood up straight. We need ethics is our main value. How can we keep you? You know, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I was immediately appointed to the ethics committee. How can you imagine that? And became really interested, deeply interested in what they were doing and beginning to do and beginning to teach something called professional coaching, wow. So I took some of the course. I passed the exams, and at the same time, I arrived on the board of directors all in the very beginning, 1998, 2000, and have been with the organization ever since, and with great joy and pleasure and respect. This is something else. This organization has grown globally, as you mentioned, and is now in a reorganizing how that global look can be managed. Fantastic. I mean, just always looking new, looking at, looking with people, and beginning, you know, always to meet the need of all the numbers. And I am it's an honor for me to be an evaluator. And I know you're going to ask me what that is.
I have a question for you. What is a coaching evaluator? You have ESP. You're intuitive. How did you know I was going to ask that?
I guess it fits right in. I was a university professor for a year, 20 years. And one of the things you do when you teach is you evaluate all the time through tests or just through work in the classroom and all. It's an evaluation. You figure out how people are doing, how they're going. Are they moving along as they should? What did they not know? What do they know? And who are the top people who seem to get it, and there are people who don't? And it's all about evaluating. It's about looking at from a point of view of performance. And so what I do is I receive a recording and a transcript of a coaching conversation. It's been through a whole lot of procedure before it ever gets to me. You know, have they taken enough hours? Where did they train? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on a long list. And then it comes to me, and I listen to and read. I read the transcript, and I listen to the conversation, and I give scores. At that point, it sounds simple, doesn't it? So that's what I do. And I'm a pass-fail. I have a lot of power, let's put it that way. So I appreciate it, and I respect it, and I give my very best to every single exam, regardless of whether it's a master exam or a lesser level exam. So that's what I do, and I do probably 5 to 6 exams a week. And it's a pleasure, and I consider it an honor that I get to do this work, a real trust, and I respect that trust. And then I shred the exam. I never remember. I don't keep the names of the people who are being examined. I only keep them long enough to put them on the report, and then everything is shredded, and I do not keep any record whatsoever of the exam. So as a person who taught ethics, I think I got my own lessons pretty well to respect that it's not my pleasure. It's not my place. It's not my place to go any further with these.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. You obviously love this work so much. Why is coaching evaluators so necessary for individuals to really acquire that coaching certification?
Well, okay, so you want have an organization, as I told you back in the beginning. You know, I walked in the door, and when I was an ethics professor, that about fell on the floor. I was so happy to have me there because it was from the very beginning that the people who group, and I was then part of it, who formed this organization decided they were going to be top of the line, top of the ladder, always ethical, always moving in that direction, always being excellent. It was just the way it was going to be, and there was no other conversation. And what will it take? Okay, what will it take? It takes having the profession that we're doing be excellent. Well, what is that? And that has gone through many, many incarnations in the various coach training programs around the world. how do we know that a coach training program is doing the work that the ICF wants? Well, we have procedures and process to evaluate them. So it was a really firm, no kidding, commitment to being excellent. And excellence requires that the coaches who go out and say, I'm an ICF coach, are indeed excellent because they've been evaluated. That's it. And it goes on.
Yeah.
It's a powerful model, let's face it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why is IFC one of the most influential coaching organizations in the world from your perspective, Christine?
Well, it's the ICF. I know that. It's a little typo there. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah, they have IFC, right, yeah.
Because of what I said was that those of us who were certainly in on the early founding and then continuing on to this very day made a commitment that would be nothing else but an influential organization, and influential because of excellence, because of our knowledge of what we're doing, of how we're affecting business and personal life and other aspects of civilization, government, like I worked with NASA, that we maintain that. And it is not simple to do, is it? No, it's not. It's simple to do. It takes constant evaluation, constant reorganization as it's happening right now. It's called, ICF is now called One ICF, and it has broken itself up into little islands that can really govern themselves, yet not stray from the mothership, but be able to govern themselves. So, and it's worked, because if I'm a person in an organization and I get my ICF credential authentically, pass the exams, and I go to my boss, I say, I now have an ICF credential. That means something. To go to the boss and say that when you haven't gone through the program might be a problem for that person at some point, because now the ICF is so well known that there's nobody's going to go in and fool around with it. That's all I have to say. It's too powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love the way you just describe everything. It's so authentic and real, and I can see why people love when you come in and evaluate. And, of course, your years as a coach, understanding what it's all about. What qualities do you think, Christine, a professional coach should have in order to be really effective at what they do?
There's some skills to either develop or enhance. The first one would be listening well, being a great listener. It's not about being a good teller or instructor. It's about being a listener. And so listening skills are paramount for a coach. And listening in a certain way is everything. It's listening without evaluating or telling. So coaches don't evaluate and say, the person that they're working with says, oh, I have so many problems at work. And the person that's coaching or thinks they're coaching says, oh, I have an answer for you. Ah, ha, ha, ha. That's not a coach. The coach says, oh, okay, tell me what that is. And we will see what you need to say about that and work with that. The coach never evaluates or tells. So it's easy for me when I see a coach or evaluate an exam and the coach just starts to tell the client what to do. No pass.
Yeah.
So it's right. Yeah. So yeah, it's that's why it's so different from me. I was a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I knew everything. I could tell everybody how to set up a business and do that and tell them all, But a coach,
right.
none of it. I could help them figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
But I was not, so you got that real clear.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very important for aspiring coaches to become certified and trained, right?
Yes. Now, this is what's happened with the ICF. In the early days, that wasn't so obvious. But now with the power of the ICF globally, I do exams from all over the world. A lot of them are translations, of course, but all over the world. And if you're that powerful as an organization, it might be a good idea to learn what the ICF does, how it does it, and what you need to do to get there. So, it's big enough and important enough to now be recognized in all the larger companies and governments. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly
mm-hmm.
right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you coached for NASA early on in your career.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy. I bet that was a uplifting experience, pun intended.
Yes.
What was that experience
actually
like for you, Christine? Yeah, that's a little of my Irish humor thrown in.
All righty. I'm Swedish, so I'm low-key, right?
Oh,
no, I'm,
my great-grandmother came from Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Everybody came from Sweden. I was privileged and honored to even consider working with a contractor from NASA who held the contract with NASA. I did not. And was so therefore all of the protocols were met by the organization that brought me in as a coach to work with, guess what, those young guys who have PhDs from all the brilliant schools on the planet who don't have a clue how to lead a team. So NASA's a team-oriented organization. So I worked with young, mostly, smart people, scientists from all over the world to become effective team leaders. And what a fun, exciting thing that was to do. And there's a reason. I grew up in Pasadena. Guess what's there? JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab,
mm-hmm.
is a NASA. And Caltech. Okay. So I was thrilled out of my mind, always loved the space program, watched every launch, and I thought, wow, okay. And I was by this time a master coach. So I was invited into the team, and for 7 years I worked full-time. I was the busiest person you ever saw, teaching in the evening and working every other hour of the day. Working
mm-hmm.
and often visiting. I was able to do work at 9 of the centers. And let me tell you, the most exciting thing that ever happened to me was going down to the Kennedy Space Center with a VIP pass. So I spent a week being obnoxiously intrusive with everybody. But I was there to witness the launch of one of my teams that I'd worked with for 5 years and their launch of their project. I worked with the leader and the assistant leader for all that 5 years. And they launched successfully. The whole project was successful. It was a thrill. I couldn't stop crying and burst into tears. I mean, everybody does on the launch. I didn't know that. I wasn't just the only one. And it was just the thrill of a lifetime. I couldn't even imagine that something like that would have happened in my lifetime, just to watch what I knew was going to happen and the success of this wonderful team. And, of course, I spent a whole week snooping around the Space Center. And had a grand time. Yeah, there we are. Why do I do this?
What an experience.
Who could have known?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What a beautiful experience.
Yes.
There is a difference, and I mentioned it in the introduction, And sometimes I think people blend the two, and there might be some elements that have a thread or a similar nature to them, but there are distinct differences, of course. Tell us about the differences between coaching and a therapist.
Yeah, it's an oft-asked question. I have coached therapists. What did I coach them in? All the things they couldn't fix in themselves. But it was coaching does not fix people. It doesn't repair people. It doesn't deal with personality issues. It doesn't tell you how to behave. Coaching doesn't do that. Coaching asks you to figure out what to do for yourself. And a therapist is there to repair and do all the wonderful things that therapists do, and as necessary as they are, when we have emotional issues that we can't handle, situations in life we can't handle, well, that's not what a coach does. So I don't handle those areas at all for people. And I've often referred people to therapists. When I'm evaluating, though, it shows sometimes that someone is too much of a fixer and that that doesn't work for a credential. So that has, and there are, there are some programs in, that are that teach coaches that are therapy-based, but it teaches them how to be coaches, period. Mm. Because they pass all the rules and all that, but it's not. And I have to declare in every single exam I do that what I examined is not therapy. Every single time, every single report has that a little check box. That it was. There's no therapy going on here at all. No fixing. It's left to the client to. Design their life and live it their way. Yep. Here we go. Yeah. Great
right.
question, you know.
Yeah. Question. Yeah, absolutely. It's I really love when people do the work that you do. There's a difference also between life coach and an executive coach as well. Tell us about those differences, Christine.
Yeah, I've never been a life coach. So I'm an executive, and I'm a team coach, as I talked about for NASA. I'm a leadership coach. I'll call myself a leadership coach and executive coach. Life coaches work with people on life issues. I need to lose weight, and I don't. You know, and it helps them decide how to lose weight on their own without telling them how and all that. Same old thing in coaching. This is still a coach, but they're working on life issues, being parents, raising children, being a teacher, being dealing with family tragedy. So, you know, must have been a lot of going on during this past year, that's for sure. And so they work on life issues. Yeah, life issues. I don't work on life issues at all. But it's that's the difference, and it's a specialty, and it's a very important specialty in coaching. And it's just about not living the person's life for them, but helping them live their life effectively. And that's what a life coach does.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The ICF is critical as well for aspiring coaches, isn't it? Since the coaching profession is unregulated, right?
It's what?
Is it unregulated?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, I looked at that wrong. Yes. I was talking about when I was working at NASA, the holder of the contract with the government for working with NASA was through NASA, but I had nothing to do with that. I didn't do that. Unregulated, sure, but it so regulates itself that, you know, I would say it was it would be kind of like a foolish waste of time to try to regulate it in some government way, because what coaching does is a very positive, productive way to work in society. And what's really, and who is being coached are really mostly companies and individuals. So there's no, but yes, I did work with government agencies actually a couple of times. I went in with, and yet there was no particular regulation issue, because they was not interfering with any government work. I think that's part of it, don't you? Yeah, I was working with the people there and the team leaders and all of that rather than any government work. Yeah, nothing they were doing for the government. Yes.
Yeah. No, I was talking about why the ICF itself is critical for aspiring coaches, since the coaching profession is unregulated. Why it's important.
Yes.
The ICF is critical.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, you want to make money and be a coach and have it as your business? Yeah, the business world knows what the ICF is. The government knows what the ICF is. And they may not regulate the ICF, but they certainly do approve and not approve of what the ICF does. It has maintained itself on such a high level of integrity that there has never been an issue going on there at all.
Right, which is very important. Absolutely.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about this. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left to the show, and you'll be back as well, which is tremendous. This is, again, part one of our exclusive two-part series. You'll be back on Thursday the 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll continue the conversation. In your expert opinion, we mentioned a little bit about some of the qualities of a good, effective coach. What are some more qualities for an excellent coach, that they would possess?
Well,
is empathy one of them?
Empathy
one of them?
Yes, I was just going to say the capacity to have empathy, to establish a strong rapport right off the bat. The first competency is called establishing the coaching agreement, and then the next one is coaching presence. And those two really kind of make it possible to be coaching and not doing something else, because the relationship is everything. It's just not sitting there telling someone what to do or being a consultant. I was a consultant. I told people what to do. Yeah, big deal. And they either did it or didn't. But here we are with someone who sits with someone either on the phone or in person and says, you know, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah.
Well, there's the we in there. What are we going to talk about today? Mm-hmm. And it's not about what am I going to tell you to do today. Nope.
Exactly.
Capacity to develop a good client, because clients
don't always
know what to expect. So that's really a powerful part of being a professional coach.
If we've got just a few seconds left here, and again, I want to remind the audience, you'll be back for part two of our exclusive close-up series on Thursday the 15th. We look forward to that. If folks want to learn more and connect, what's the best way they can do that, Christine?
Well, I'm no longer public.
Really?
I have to think of upgrading my long-time website. I haven't touched it for a while. I've just been comfortably living here in Pasadena with my wonderful dog and my puppy, who's right here looking, when are we going out, Mother? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Are we
going? I was thinking after this invitation, I should check out my website, but I'm not working. No, I'm just working with.
Well,
the
it was a pleasure getting a chance to chat with you, and I look forward to again having the opportunity down the line. But, of course, you'll be back next week, and we look forward to that. Thanks for sharing the time with us, Christine. This was wonderful. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I enjoyed myself. Thanks, Jim, so much. Bye-bye.
You are very welcome. You take care. Bye-bye now. A very special guest. Our very special guest, as we were saying, is, hold the music, folks, Coach Evaluator Christine Martin. Again, she'll be back with us on the 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern. We look forward to that. For all of us here, you take care, be well, and thanks for joining us. And I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Take care and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.